Well, yesterday we had a great time with the 4th of July parade. And while I'm talking, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 119. And we were able to pass out several hundred tracts, water station that was manned by Alexi and Carly. And thank you very much for doing that. They handed out many gospel tracts of people that were passing by. They ran out. Amen. That's a good thing. Yeah. That is a good thing. And that's why the gospel tracts are over there, so that we can get them to run out. I like it when I have to buy gospel tracts. I mean, it's cool. When I go and look at it and go, man, it's getting a little thin. Let's get some more, you know. And I found some new ones that I kind of want to get. I'm not sure about how we're going to do it, but I'll see about them, whether we can actually have to put stickers on them or something. But they're there for a reason. And it's a beautiful thing that we have the freedom to be able to do that. Yeah. We live in a country that does have freedom. A lot of people have come over here recently because of sporting events from other countries, and they're like, man, this is a great country. Right. And they're excited about it. And they're like, we've been lied to about what's here in the United States. But here in the United States, sometimes we get complacent about with what we have. I think we would all benefit from going to a third world country and seeing exactly what you don't have. And you begin to realize really quickly how precious the things are that we have here in the United States. Well, I want to talk a little bit about one of our foundations of this country. I know we usually have 2 Corinthians, and we are in the last chapter, 2 Corinthians 13. We'll get there. We'll get there, unless the Lord comes back. Then that's much better than me preaching, amen? But we'll want to talk about what Scripture talks about when it talks about liberty and true liberty. And I want us to understand the concept of what true liberty is. True liberty is not the absence of restraint, which is often what a lot of people think it is. True liberty is not the absence of restraint, but it is the freedom to do what God has created us to do. And when we phrase it that way in our head, and we have that in our heart, the behaviors, actions, and words that we do are going to be aligned with what God's will is for our life and what His purpose is for us. You know, the world's definition of liberty often focuses on freedom from authority. Freedom from authority, and that's not what it is. The Bible's definition of what liberty is very clear, and it's a lot closer to freedom under God's righteous authority. Liberty must have an authority associated with it. If it does not have a governance of it, it is anarchy. It is chaos, and it is not peace. Yeah. It is not peace. In Psalm chapter 119 and in verse 45, it says this, and this is going to be our text this morning. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. I thank you for this country that we are in, Lord, and we have a great blessing that is here. But Lord, as much as we have received this great blessing and great gift, Lord, I pray that we would understand that it requires a great diligence to keep it, to protect it. Lord, not to be passive about things, but to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all, which will truly change hearts. Not politics, but true truth from your word. And Lord, I pray that as we think on these things this morning, you teach us about liberty in our lives and what liberty means to us as believers. And Lord, we would use this to accomplish your will, to accomplish your design, to follow what you have given to us, Lord, that we would glorify you in all that we say and do. And pray, Lord, this morning that we would do that with our hearts humble, ready to receive the instruction, that your word would be lifted up, that you would be magnified, and that you would be glorified and pleased in all that we do. And I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about this English idea and the English word of the idea of liberty, it is often going to come from the etymology that we talk about, and it has this meaning that goes back to being free, obviously, and especially free from bondage or free from slavery. And we see those things and principles in the Word of God. We see freedom from sin. We see freedom from death. And there's a great deal of liberty that is connected with that. And in the English usage that we find here, that throughout the centuries, and it is a historical dictionaries, even before Webster wrote his dictionary, there was dictionaries that were existed beforehand. But in that historical sense, we find that liberty is primarily, is never meant to be lawlessness and without rule, but it has been meant and intended to be a rightful exercise of freedom within proper bounds. Now, this is important for us as believers. And we're going to hear a few illustrations today that we can see what happens when liberty is not used biblically. People talk about liberty all the time and they want liberty. You got these people that run out there and say, well, we shouldn't have any government at all. We shouldn't have any of this. We shouldn't have any of that. Well, if we don't have any of that, then we end up in this total chaos. We have to have liberty. Thank God our founding fathers identified that. They wanted to limit the amount of it because they were saying this should be our moral guideline. Well, this got abandoned, and guess what? We wind up with a bunch of ridiculous laws and more governmental interference. But the scriptures clearly agree with this understanding that God's commands are not prison bars. They're not restrictive. What they are, they're called guardrails. They're guardrails that preserve what is considered genuine freedom from God, genuine freedom given to us by God. And when we think about this, I want us to identify a couple of principles that we see here, because we're going to talk about how we walk at liberty within God's boundaries. We need to understand what it means to walk in liberty within God's boundaries. And if you want a title, I guess that would be the best title for this. And this is our main passage and our main verse where we're going to think about, because again, God's limitations are not the enemy of liberty. God's limitations are not the enemy of liberty. They are the foundation. See, so many people think that liberty means you're free to do whatever you want. That's not the case. I mean, even Paul identified that. While he said all things are lawful, he said not everything is expedient. Meaning there's certain things that you ought not do. Right. Even though you may have the right to do it, you don't get to do it because it might hurt someone else. Yeah. Well, it's not hurting me. But that's the mentality. Liberty is not all about us. Liberty is not about us. The first point I want to make is this, is liberty is found in submission to God's word. I mean, this is what this passage looks at. Look at this verse in verse 45. And again, we find in Psalm 119 talking about the Word of God. The previous verse, it says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Continuing with the conjunction and, he says, and I will walk at liberty for I seek thy precepts. And what does this mean? It means that if he's going to keep it, he's going to protect it. He's going to hide it within his heart. He is going to make sure that it stays there at all times. That's the concept. That's the idea behind what the Lord is saying here, what the psalmist is having this psalmist say. And we begin to realize that when we think about it, it is when I, and take a look, when I seek, it says, for I seek thy precepts. For I seek thy precepts. You can't walk at liberty if you don't know what precept you're walking in. And look, precepts are not something that you just want surprised upon you. You want to know what those precepts are. I mean, here David, he connects the ideas, the two ideas, seeking God's precepts and walking in liberty. Well, let me define what a precept is really quickly, because we don't use that word very often unless you're in the law world, legal world. It is a commandment or direction given as a rule of action. A commandment or direction as a rule of action, meaning it's ruling what you do, especially an injunction as to moral conduct. What does that mean? It means that it guides your moral conduct. It tells you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. This book is a precept. This book is filled with precepts. And what we begin to realize here is here we see the cause preceding the effect. You know, there's a cause and effect in everything. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And here he says, look, when you seek God's precepts, guess what? You're going to be walking in liberty. Well, what does that mean? It means that if you don't walk in God's precepts, you're still living in bondage. Go read the book of Galatians and what he has to say about that. While you may be free from the effects of sin as far as death goes and being cast into a lake of fire, you will still have some bondage in your life that will hinder your walk with Jesus Christ, that will hinder you. You'll be miserable. You'll sit back and you'll go, wonder, why is my life so icky? Why is my life just garbage? Why do I always feel like just everything is collapsing in upon me? Because you haven't looked at God's word as the precept for your life, and you're not walking in liberty anymore. You've restricted yourself. You've handcuffed yourself. You shackled yourself. You threw yourself in your own prison. Go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The book of John in chapter 8. John chapter 8 and in verse 31 through 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, a lot of people talk about that last part. The truth shall make you free. What's the context? Believing what he said and following what he said. He says, continue in my word. Well, what does continue mean? And you're not stopping. You just continue, and you continue, and you continue, and you continue, and you continue. Some of us have to continue to go to work. Yeah, unless you're retired. But we have continual things that we do. We have to continually brush your teeth. Prayerfully, you do so. You have to continually wash your body. Prayerfully, you do so. You have to continually do those things, right? You have to continually eat. Well, maybe not continually, but repeatedly. But usually what I'm saying is there's things that we have to continue in. And what he's saying here is if you really, truly want to experience what freedom and liberty is all about, you got to continue in the Word. You got to continue in the Word. Take a look at what he says in verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. So what is again he saying? Oh, excuse me, verse 36. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's saying, look, you truly will have freedom from sin, but don't go back to it. Don't continue in the sin. Don't go from those things. Why? Because sin promises freedom, but it doesn't deliver that. Well, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. I'm free to do this and I'm free to do that. well, okay, yeah, the Lord isn't going to force your hand to do this and do that and make you do that where you're reaching for whatever it is you're reaching for, and he's going to be like, nah. I've had people pray that prayer. Well, I don't. Obviously, the Lord's not answering my prayer. Okay, well, tell me about what you're praying. Well, you know, it's a personal prayer. Well, just help me out here. Just kind of walk me through how you pray, and let me help you guide with the Word of God, what it says. Okay, well, I would just pray that the Lord would remove it from me. Well, you're not going to remove it unless you actively dig it out. The only way you're going to dig that out is with a shovel. But then you're going to have to put something back in there. What are you putting back in there? If you're asking the Lord to rip it out, and even if the Lord comes down and he rips that weed out and you don't tend to the ground afterwards, what's going to happen? That weed's going to come back. Don't blame that on God. Point that bony little finger back at yourself. Why? Because we're the ones that are doing it.
Right.
You think God's just going to come down and just make you stop sinning? I mean, that would be fantastic. But that's not what God says he wants us to do. So what do we begin to realize here? We begin to realize that we have to come to the understanding that if we continue in sin, we are putting ourselves back into bondage. Willingly. Christ produces liberty because he delivers from sin's dominion. This is exactly what he's saying here. Turn over to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, one of the things that the British feared the most? It was what they referred to as the Black Robe Brigade. How many of you heard of the Black Robe Brigade during the 1700s when all of the unrest and the, if you will, our War of Independence took place? The Black Robe Brigade was not a military force in its own right. They carried guns. It was the preachers that were behind the pulpit that were preaching things about God giving freedom. They weren't necessarily preaching against King George. They were just preaching the book. And the Brits realized that if you preach the book, people are going to get this idea of what freedom really is. And what liberty free truly is. And they feared him, and they tried to silence him. They tried to make him shut up. But they wouldn't. They continued to preach the Word of God. In James chapter 1 and in verse 25, it says this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," which you can find in the Word of God, you can find in Jesus Christ, it says, "continueth therein," just like he said over there in chapter 8 of John, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you prefer to be cursed? Yeah, I don't think anybody here does. You notice I put my hands behind my back because I don't want to instinctively just lift my hand up. But the end result of what I'm saying with this is what the Bible is saying. He's saying, look, if you don't forget the fact that you heard about the liberty that God proclaimed in his book, and you look into it, and when you look into it, you don't forget what you studied, there's going to be some blessings in your life. And again, I'm not talking prosperity here, folks, okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about blessings from God in your life as he reveals to you more of his word and gives you peace that you so desperately crave right now. This is what he will do. This is what he'll do. And I want you to notice how he describes that law of liberty as perfect. Perfect law of liberty. There isn't a flaw in it. There isn't a flaw in it. God's law is not called bondage. God's law is not called bondage. It is called the law of liberty. That's what he's saying to look into right here. This book right here that we have in front of us. I want you to think about this illustration. I do like trains. They're fascinating to me. I have certain trains that I like. I have friends that like certain trains. People that like trains that are often called foamers because they stand at the, like, you know, a railroad, or they see a train and they start foaming at the mouth like somebody rabid. But they're like, oh, they get all excited about it. If you've ever seen one of them, they get, I mean, it's hilarious. They start whooping and hollering, you know, they go back to being a five-year-old kid. But you understand something about trains. A train is free only while it remains on the tracks. What happens if it goes off the tracks? Nothing good. You know, we got this railroad that goes through here, Burlington Northern Santa Fe's main railroad. It's the main line. We have Amtrak that goes through at about 100 miles an hour. They're supposed to, I think, be at 70 miles an hour, but everybody knows they're pushing the speed limit, just like you and just like me. But they got, that goes through there. You know what happens with one of those things derails? You know what some of those containers carry? My friend tells me what they contain. They contain sulfuric acid. They contain chlorine gas. Stuff that will kill you in an instant. By the time they realize something's wrong, we'll all be gone. You're like, well, that's a wonderful thought. Well, I'll be with Jesus. I don't know about you. but that being said, it's needs to stay on the tracks, right? It has to stay on those rails. Removing the rails does not increase freedom. Removing the rails that it needs to stay on does not increase freedom. It increases something else. And again, it, you know, here's what it guarantees. If it stays on the rail, it guarantees that it's not going to cause a disaster. Likewise, when you think about God's commandments and what He's told us to do and what we have in the Word of God are the tracks on which our liberty runs. This book is our tracks on which our liberty that He has given us runs. If it goes off these tracks, what happens in your life? Nothing good. Nothing good at all. The principle that we wind up seeing with this is the more closely that we follow God's precepts, as He said over there in Psalm 119:45, the more freely we walk. The more freedom that we have, as long as it is contained on those tracks, in the path that God wants us to go on, in the direction that He wants us to be in. The second point that when we start thinking about liberty is this, is that liberty requires holy limitations. Holy limitations. Modern culture teaches us that if you remove boundaries, or that you need to remove every boundary, right? Well, you just need to let the kid be the kid. You just need to let him grow up. And what? Raise a wild animal? You ever seen one of the kids that has no boundaries? Welcome to retail, amen. I've seen him in school when I was actually in a school, not homeschooled. I've seen him as an adult. I've seen the end result. I've seen adults that you can tell they had no boundaries because they have no boundaries as adults. Why? Because they were never reined in. They were never taught about what the Bible teaches about a happy child, about what a child needs in his life. And what is that? He needs landmarks and boundaries and says, don't go beyond those. Mm-hmm. Failing to do that in parenting will mess up your kids' lives as well as make your life miserable. That's what modern culture teaches. Remove every boundary. You know what Scripture teaches? Remove sinful bondage. Don't remove the boundary, remove the bondage. And what and these are not the same thing. They're not the same principle, because if you go over to Psalm chapter 19, what do again we see in Psalm chapter 19 and in verse 7? It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We read that one this morning. And it says, and to be more desired, and more desired, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in the keeping, just like a guard keeps it, of them there is great reward. I mean, do you realize what he just said there? Rejoicing the heart. You want joy in your heart? How many of us want to be sad, depressed, and lonely, and just miserable the rest of our lives? I don't think anybody here does. If you do, please come see me. My counseling hours are typically on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But what I'm getting at is this, is you want to rejoice in your heart. You want to be happy. You want to have something in your life that you're just like excited about. And you know what? God's word will give you that. But you got to stay within the boundary.
Yeah.
You got to stay within the boundary. What does it teach us? It teaches that God's law does what? It converts. It changes, man. It makes some people wise. I really don't want to be a stupid head. I just don't. It gives you rejoicing in your heart. It enlightens you. Again, you don't want to be a dullard. What else does it do? It warns you. Don't do that. Don't do that. And it gives you great reward. Now again, the reward, people don't understand what that reward is, but let's understand it in the context of what God gives us as blessings. Peace is a great reward. Comfort and consolation is a great reward. Those things are great. Proverbs chapter 4 teaches us that instruction keeps us from stumbling. Proverbs chapter 13 teaches us that righteousness keeps the upright in his way. Keeps us in those boundaries. That righteousness preserves liberty. But sin destroys it. Sin destroys it. What does it say in Romans chapter 6? One of the most familiar passages when we start talking about liberty is it says here that everyone is going to serve a master. You're going to serve somebody. The question is, which one? Are you going to serve righteousness? Or are you going to serve sin? Sin enslaves, righteousness it liberates. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, it says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. No longer that servant of sin. We shouldn't go back to that servant or that master. We don't work for them anymore. We don't work for them anymore. I want you to notice this, that freedom from sin results in a willing service to God. A servant. A servant. These passages are talking about a servant. And it's willing service. If you're struggling with wanting and willingness to serve in your life, I guarantee you there is something of a bondage in your life you've got to unshackle yourself from. There's something that is shackling you. That you got to break that chain. You know, a river has a boundary. If it doesn't have a boundary, it becomes Ridgefield, which is a swamp. They call it a wetland. But we all, you know, as our former mayor, Ron Onslow, said, wetland is just a fancy term for swamp. He says, yeah, we live in a swamp. We're swamp people. We're swamp people. Classy swamp people, but we're swamp people, right? That's how we put it. But the idea is that the banks, they may appear restrictive, but you know what it does? If you think about the boundaries of what a river does, it gives it its strength. If it's over its boundaries, it's not as powerful. It gives us its strength. It gives us its direction, where it needs to go. If the Columbia River floods, it's all over the place. It has no direction. Eventually, it will make it to where it needs to be, but it's going to be all over. And it also very clearly gives it its usefulness. We've got multiple dams on our Columbia River. Why? So we can have electricity. So we can microwave our burritos. Or our corn dogs, whichever one you prefer. But you understand what I'm saying is we realize that all these things, but if there was no boundaries to those to that river, we would lose all of that. Just like we all lose that when we operate outside of God's boundaries that He's given to us. God's limitations protects the liberty that He does give us. And it strengthens us. Columbia River, well, even though it's broad, it is a mighty river. It's a powerful river. It'll sweep you away in a heartbeat. The third thing that I want to mention with this is liberty is never a license for sin. That goes back to the, well, I'm free to do whatever. Yeah, you're free to do it. But you need to ask yourself, should you do it? Because it will bring you back into bondage. I'm free to rob a bank. But I will pay the consequence. And federal prison, I don't know. I don't think orange is my color. But you understand what I'm saying is We don't have the freedom as believers to sin. It's not a license for that. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And he makes this very clear here. And this is why it becomes so important. And here we are talking about 250 years of what we call liberty and freedom here in the United States. But as I think about that, one thing that I think about is that even though we have this great liberty in this country, we see so much bondage because of the sin that exists in people's lives because they have not gone to Jesus Christ and taken care of their sin at the cross. And they're still in bondage. And while they blow up half the country with fireworks, the other day, I don't know what was going on. There was stuff hitting our house all night last night. I kept hearing it hit the windows and hearing the roof. And I went out and I just turned to the kind of the north, northeast. I don't know what was going on, but it looked like somebody was shelling at Amboy and Yakult with 155 millimeter howitzers. All night long, it was just these flashes of light. It was like, it looked like an artillery. I mean, it looked like a combat zone. I was like, wow, that's quite impressive. I don't know what they were using, but it was pretty fantastic. Even our own neighborhood was that. But I say all that, they celebrate that, but they don't realize how much they're still in bondage because you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Most of them are going to go back to work and live a miserable life. Some of them wake up to this morning, from a hangover with a miserable life. They still have bondage to sin. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13, it says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Liberty is a calling. Liberty is a calling. If you are called unto it, then you need to abide in it by its boundaries. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Oh man, you know what? That just takes that whole argument of I'm going to do whatever I want to a whole totally different level, doesn't it? Because you know what that says? It's not about you, it's about someone else. If you've been called to liberty, which we all have, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what that means? That liberty is you can love your brother and sister in Christ as much as you possibly can. And then heap more on top of that too. Well, I don't know. I mean, they're kind of, well, you heap more on top of it. You got it. He's giving you a liberty. It's within the rails. It's within the boundaries. He says, I want you to just heap as much love on there as you can. And you're like, well, I don't know. I'll give you more. He says, I'll give you more. You want more love? Here you go. You want more love? Here, realize what I saved you from. You want more love? Here's what out of the mercy I give you every single day when you take your breath in the morning. Here, every single day, the blessings that you have. Here's all this love that I'm showing to you. God commendeth the love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died on that cross. Amen? So what do we have? We've got tons of love. He's given us tons of love. Give it back. Give it out. Why? Because when you deplete that, he gives you more. You ever wonder what that whole thing about where they start going around talking about that cup that's, you know, pressed down and stuff like that, and everybody talks about prosperity and talks about money and uses it for faith promise missions or whatever else they're going to use it for. Man, that's talking about something else. We got tons of liberty to love one another. But not just love one another, but in love, serve. You think I'm going to serve that person? Yeah. That's what he just told you to do. You've been called to liberty. It's your calling. Should we not walk worthy of that vocation, that calling that we're in? This is part of it. I know it's in a different book, but it's still part of it. It fits, amen? Christian liberty is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Why is it that liberty and servant and service are connected? Because it has boundaries. Because it has rails. Because it has a certain pathway. Liberty is best exercised when it is serving God, not serving yourself. Not serving yourself. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You got liberty this morning?
Amen.
You got the Spirit of God in you?
Amen.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You walked right into my trap. Ha ha ha. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Do you have liberty? Absolutely. You got a calling to liberty. We got to abide by it. We got to serve God with it. And here he says, right there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So the more that you get into the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit of God teach you and show you things from Scripture and study, 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 read, 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 memorize, 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 meditate, 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 the more liberty you're going to have in your life. The more liberty you're going to have in your life. Most people don't have peace in their life because they have this feeling, and I hate to use that word, or thought process, that they're in bondage, that they're shackled, that they're restricted. But God says there's true freedom when the Spirit of the Lord is there. Spirit lives in us. Does not the Holy Ghost live in you? I think 2 or 1 Corinthians makes that clear. Makes that very clear. The Spirit never leads contrary to Scripture, by the way. He always stays within these rails and these boundaries. These rails and these boundaries. Liberty will always produce that holiness, by the way. That's what he's talking about here. The Spirit of the Lord is? We're talking about holiness? I mean, how do we describe the Spirit of the Lord? What's one of his other names? Holy Spirit? Oh. So that we would be holy too. Because hasn't God called us to holiness too? Yes. True holiness, as we talked about this morning. Turn over to the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And you know what he's saying with these words here? You know what he's saying? He's saying that the grace that we have in God, the grace that God gives us, what does it teach us? It teaches us to deny ungodliness. It teaches us to deny worldly lust. It teaches us to live soberly. And that just doesn't mean not being drunk or under the influence of anything. It means that you need to have a sober understanding of what we have. What God did upon the cross. And I think some Christians take this Christian life way too lightly. And they take sin far too lightly. Make jokes about it. Scripture warns about that, by the way. Yeah, not joke about certain things. But he says, we're to live soberly, we're to live righteously, we're to live godly. And you know what? Grace doesn't remove boundaries. Did you notice grace is not removing any boundaries here? Grace teaches us to embrace them. We're a rebellious little critter, aren't we? Our heart is just, it just wants to rebel. Somebody tells us what to do, and what do? We just go like, meh. You know, like we hiss and snap at them. Why do I have to obey you? The classic, you're not the boss of me. Brilliant. But how about we serve each other in liberty? In love. The way the Lord told us. And what do we find here? We find that grace teaches us to embrace these boundaries as we look for Jesus Christ to appear prayerfully shortly. Biblical liberty is the freedom to obey God joyfully, not the freedom to disregard Him. I'll give you another illustration of the thing about liberty. A fish can freely swim in water, can it? What happens if you liberate it from its water? It winds up in one of Mike Perry's tacos. Amen, brother? It winds up on your plate. It dies. When we remove it from its water, when we liberate it from its water, we give it freedom. In the name of freedom, we remove it. It dies. But the fish is most free when it lives within the environment God designed it for. God designed a new creature that is in you, and He designed it to walk in liberty, and He designed it to walk in the truths of Scripture and within its rails and its boundaries in the environment that God created for it. So when we think about all of these principles, we think about all of these illustrations, we kind of come to this conclusion. The world says freedom means no restraint. The Bible says freedom means the right restraints. I want you to consider this progression from the verses that we talked about. If we seek God's precepts, according to Psalm 119:45, we're going to know God's truths, according to John chapter 8, verse 32. We're going to become free from sin, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 18. And we're going to walk in the law of liberty, as James says in 1:25. And then we're going to use that liberty to serve one another in love, according to Galatians 5:13. There's the boundaries, folks. There's the borders. There's the environment. The believer is never more free than walking in the obedience to Christ. You will never be more free when you are walking in obedience to Christ. If you walk in continued sin, you are shackling yourself all over again. There's an old saying, and it expresses this biblical principle. The saying is, the bird is free because it flies according to the laws that govern flight. Ignore those laws, and liberty is lost. You plummet to the earth. Or there's another kind of stated this way, liberty is not the absence of limitations. It is the blessing of living within God's wise limitations. See, sometimes we don't have the right understanding of what liberty really is. What liberty really, truly is. I want to give you one kind of additional thought here and we'll close. You know, Psalm 119 directly ties that liberty to not merely to the commandments, but to delight. You know, in that entire chapter, David repeatedly says over and over again, I delight in God's laws. He says it in verse 16, verse 24, verse 35, verse 47, verse 70, verse 77, verse 92, verse 143, verse 174. And what do we begin to realize? Delight is connected to joy and happiness. Delight is connected to peace and comfort. It's connected to the blessings that we so desperately want in this life. And obedience is not presented as some grim duty that we've got to walk around, oh, I'm a Christian sucking on a lemon. It's shown as a joyful devotion in our life. A joyful devotion in our life that we seek to please God and to seek to serve God and obey Him in every way. You know, that's the highest expression of biblical liberty. Not merely that we can obey God, but that through His grace, we increasingly want to. We increasingly want to. You know what that is? That's freedom. That's real, true liberty and freedom that every person can have in their life. Because of the words of life in this book. Got liberty this morning, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Let's use it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the time. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You have given to us. And Lord, I thank You for that as we contemplate the liberty that we have in this country, that, Lord, we would more importantly consider, think, meditate, focus, and desire the liberty that is found in You and Your Word. Lord, may we understand those limitations and those rails, those boundaries, and the environments that You've put us in for that reason, that they would glorify You and serve You and give You honor and praise. And that, Lord, as You have told us, we'd have peace, comfort, and blessing in this life. as we seek to diligently obey you, desiring the more every day to fulfill your will. Thank you again, Lord, for those that are here. And pray you continue to meet with us as we sing, Lord, from our hearts this hymn. I ask and pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.